Welcome to Reform Media Review. I'm live at Shepherd's Conference. Very happy to be here. It's been a very exciting time. And today I'm going to be interviewing, looking at some products from Media Gratiae with Matthew Robinson. Thank you very much for doing the interview with me and Reform Media Review. I appreciate being able to hear about your products. And why don't you tell us a little about yourself and your organization?
Sure. Thanks, Rob. I appreciate it. Well, my name is Matthew Robinson. I'm the director of Media Gratiae. We're a little multimedia, documentary, Bible study, and publishing company out of New Albany, Mississippi. New Albany, Mississippi is just a little south of Memphis, so we're up in the upper part of Mississippi. We got started rather unintentionally back in about 2011, late 2011, early 2012. I've been converted for several years and was interested in going into the ministry. I had talked with the elders at our church about pursuing theological education, and they encouraged that after a period of talking with me. And I took a job at a large ministry in Tupelo, Mississippi, that is focused primarily on kind of cultural action, so boycotting people for having transgender bathrooms, that sort of thing.
Okay.
So not a reformed group by any stretch of the imagination, but they were the organization that would take a graphic designer and let me do seminary part-time and work there.
Oh,
so
okay.
Started working there about a year into it. They had my pastor, John Snyder, come on the radio and talk a little bit, and there was a kind of a conservative talk show host asking him, what are we going to do about this issue of the day, this okay. really important issue of the day? And he's, shouldn't we be upset about this? And well, you know, it really depends on your view of God. If God is who he says he is, and he counts the nations as a drop in the bucket, as dust on the scale, then, you know, we should do our civic duty. But I don't think God's in heaven wringing his hands about this. I think we should serve the Lord and trust him. And so that made an impression on some of the talk show folk around. And there was a fellow there who had just been hired on in that organization to build a video department and to begin to do videos.
Okay.
So he approached John about this concept of evangelical idolatry that he brought up on the program. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we can have a view of God that is so low and so foreign to the God of the Bible that even though we say God, who has a son named Jesus, etc., that we're worshiping an idol of our own imagination. You know, as Calvin said, that the heart is an idol factory.
Yes.
And so we can create a God who's like us, just a little bigger, a little better. He hates the sin that's disgusting to us, but he's kind of like an indulgent grandpa to the
sin that
is actually appealing to us. That God doesn't exist. That God is an idol. And so Snyder had talked a little bit about that on the radio program. That was an intriguing concept to the fellow who was starting the video department inside of this ministry. And so he said, I'd like you to do a video Bible study on that subject.
Yeah.
Well, he said, you probably want to get somebody else to do that. You know, we don't even have anything in our church to show a video Bible study on. We're a pretty simple church. We preach and pray and sing. And so, you know, thanks, but no thanks. Well, for about a year, they pursued him to do this Bible study. I went to work in the organization, and my boss came to me one day, same fella, and said, okay, your next project is to go get your pastor and for you guys to make a video Bible study. Okay, you know, it became evident that maybe it would have been disobedient to the Lord not to do it at that point. It was an opportunity to do something that would be for his name and his glory. So we thought, well, what would we do if we were going to make a 12-week video Bible study that was primarily watched by people kind of in the middle American evangelical group? So, you know, when you think of people who wouldn't know that they were Arminian, they may have never heard that term before. They never
right.
thought about that.
Right.
You just go to church, you know? So on the concept of who God is, and we thought, well, we'd want to invite some of our friends. And so Paul Washer and Conrad Mbewe, a fellow called Richard Owen Roberts up in Wheaton, Illinois,
yeah.
Anthony Mathenia was a pastor in our church. So Anthony is now Paul's pastor in Radford, Virginia, at Christ Church Radford. So Anthony was with us in New Albany for a good while. Snyder did his doctoral work at the University of Wales on the influence of the Puritan soteriology on the next generation of the Welsh Calvinistic Methodists. So while he lived there, he met and made friends with several Welshmen, Andrew Davis, Afion Evans. He sat under a fellow called Vernon Higham, who was Lloyd Jones' sort of protege for years. So we got those guys involved, and then our friend Jordan Thomas in Memphis, Tennessee. I had been introduced to so much helpful stuff in church history that I really wanted other people in that middle American evangelical world to have that same experience. Mm-hmm. So we thought, how could we take these subjects and introduce people to the subjects each week through the lens of people's lives from church history? So we thought, what if we could go to England and Scotland and Wales and go all up the east coast of the U.S. and go to places that are associated with men like Rutherford and Edwards and, you know, even guys like Tozer and Mueller and Amy Carmichael and others, and introduce, give a little bio on them, 10 minutes, introduce the subject through their lives. So these men exemplified the things that we'll be studying this week in the study. Then there'd be a teaching session, and then there'd be a collection of interview footage from the other contemporary ministers that I mentioned earlier, Paul and Robertson, et cetera. So we kind of made a Christmas list of what would we do if we could do anything that we wanted to do. We went back to the organization. We really expected them to say, yeah, that's not what we had in mind. We just want you to stand in front of this cinder block wall and, you know, teach a study. Amazingly, they said, yeah, go do it.
Well, that's great.
So I had to go figure out, well, how do you make a multimedia Bible study, et cetera? So we made that, and we shot it in 2012. We released it in 2013 at a conference that we held in Memphis with a lot of the speakers being men who contributed to it. Left the very next day and went to the first G3 conference in Atlanta with Paul Washer and Anthony Matheny and a few other guys who were speaking there. And I started going around to conferences. That's why I'm here at Shepherd's Conference now. It's just been part of my life since then, connecting people with these resources. So that did really well for the organization that I worked for. They said, man, what do you want to do next? And in the process of being in the UK a good bit for making Behold Your God, I met a lot of men who knew Lloyd Jones, who sat under Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones, who were trained by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones for ministry. And I met the good people who run the MLJ Trust, mljtrust.org, who manage all of his recordings. And they knew his family. You know, both of his daughters are still alive and very sharp and just wonderful Christian ladies. His grandchildren. And so as the stars kind of started to align for a project about Lloyd Jones, I realized there's a closing window to be able to sit down with these people. Yeah. Talked with Ian Murray at the Banner of Truth Trust, talked with a collection of the Welshmen that I knew who knew Lloyd Jones, who really had that relationship with him in ministry. And then I talked with the family, Lloyd Jones' daughters and grandchildren, and they were all supportive and said, yeah, we'll work with you on that. Had those factors not been there, I would not have wanted to make a project on Lloyd Jones, because nobody cares what Matthew Robinson's opinion about Martin Lloyd Jones is. You know, everybody kind of wants to hitch their wagon to Lloyd Jones. If you're a charismatic, like, he's one of us. You know, if you're a cessationist, no, he's one of us. If you're a Baptist, if you're a Presbyterian, you know, everybody wants him. He's not in anybody's camp on a lot of things, you know, frustratingly so. But great guy and a great example, I think, in life and in ministry. So the desire to make a documentary was born in the process of making the first Behold Your God study. So I told my employer at the time, I'd like to make a documentary about a dead guy that you've never heard of. And they said, well, are people going to buy it? And I don't know. Probably not. Probably not many. And they said, well,
what could go wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. So they said, well, people are buying this Bible study. You know, go ahead. Go do it. So I got to spend about a year and a half going around and interviewing men, being in the UK, being all around the US, went to T4G 4 years ago and sat down with guys like John MacArthur and Ligon Duncan and, Kevin DeYoung and Justin Taylor and a lot of the speakers there. You know, Lloyd-Jones is a great calling card. If you say, hey, I'm making a documentary on Lloyd-Jones, even guys like MacArthur say, wait, I'm going to make time for you. I want to talk to you about that. So a lot of American men who have been influenced by him, like the men that I just mentioned, a lot of the British evangelicals, really clear men like Jeremy Walker and a lot of the Welsh preachers today were interested in contributing, guys like Sinclair Ferguson, et cetera.
So there's a lot of focus on the legacy of Lloyd-Jones.
That's right. So we want to tell, you know, here's a little info, some biographical info, but why did he make the decisions that he made? And in the director's statement that I wrote for the film, I said that I believe that it's as important for us to understand why he did the things that he did in his life and ministry. So when he was ministering at Sandfields and he cut out all the things that could distract from Christ, all the extra focuses, et cetera, and so many other things. Why did he do that? I think it's as important for us to understand that as it is for us to understand what he taught on Ephesians and Romans, et cetera, because we're seeing those beliefs actually carried out and lived on in a consistent way. And we need that in our day of getting our soteriology right in our head. We need to see men who have then carried that out and said, okay, so how am I going to live and minister in a way that where pragmatism doesn't kill all my best intentions? So in 2014, we made the film Logic on Fire, The Life and Legacy of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And so that's now available at logiconfire.org that can be streamed. And there's a deluxe edition box set that I tell people is kind of the Lord of the Rings extended edition. You know,
nice. Do you have a statue of Lloyd-Jones in there?
No. Maybe a bobblehead? No, but there's some fancy stuff in there, but there's not a bobblehead yet.
Oh, you missed out.
I know. Well, I would be sternly rebuked by Ian Murray if I did that. So
it's actually, when I get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to do is find Luther and Calvin. I'm going to explain to them what bobbleheads are.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to try and break it to them gently that people have made little images of them. They should like that. They should like that.
Well, perhaps. So Logic on Fire was released. We released that at the Gospel Coalition Conference in 2015, showed the feature length. The organization that funded that started the work long before, really didn't envision themselves being reformed a documentary maker organization. And so our desires for the direction for the future were a little bit at cross purposes.
Right.
And there are some wonderful Christian people who work there, but they just have different views.
Just different
about
vision.
Yeah, sure. Well. So we came to a very good and loving split. So where Media Gratiae became an independent nonprofit in 2015. And so we are now, I should probably mention, maybe through the power of editing, that when we released these things, I did want to build in a bit, like a degree of separation for the benefit of both parties. So we came up with the name Media Gratiae to release it under, which is just a Latin phrase for the means of grace. Yeah. And so everything that we ever released, we released it as Media Gratiae. So it made perfect sense for us to just become an independent nonprofit. And we now work with our good friends at the Banner of Truth and Reformation Heritage and Ligonier and Bethlehem and Desiring God and so many of the other ministries that, you know, are we're more like-minded with. We're able to work with them and partner in ways that make sense.
Does John Roberts still have his bookshop with his printing press?
Richard Owen Roberts?
Richard Owen Roberts, I'm sorry.
No, so Richard Owen Roberts' son Bob Roberts is down in Maryville, Tennessee, and he does bookbinding now.
Yeah.
I think he got all of his dad's equipment.
Okay, he doesn't do that in Wheaton anymore.
Right, no.
Okay, it's too bad. I remember that from the 90s.
Yeah.
Going in there, it's an incredible used bookshop.
Oh, yeah.
The rarest books that you could find. And then in the corner, there he is, taking some original Puritan works.
Yeah.
And rebinding them. It was incredible.
Yeah, and beautifully done.
Yes, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Richard Owen Roberts is cut from a different cloth.
Yes, he is.
He is old school, truly. Yeah. And he's a dear friend. I was just in Wheaton with him. While I was in his shop, just walking through, I found the first English edition of Luther on Galatians that had been rebound.
Wow.
Just sitting on his bookstore shelf, and found the first Calvin on Ephesians, I think, mm-hmm. that he had rebound. And it's just... That's just how he rolls.
Yeah. I mean, when I first became Reformed, I would go in there, and it was like being on, you know, like a diabetic on sugar rush. It was just looking around and wandering around the shelves and the smell. It's like, I want to live here.
I know.
It was incredible. But yeah, so it's great that he's involved with this project.
Yeah.
But that's not all you have.
No.
What else do you have at your organization?
Yeah. So Paul Washer has written a series of workbooks called Biblical Foundations for the Christian Faith. And a lot of you guys may have seen a book called The One True God that was a workbook that Paul Washer put together. He put it together while he was living on the mission field, just to try to teach people, where do we get these doctrines? Well, we get them from the Scriptures. Well, where in the Scriptures do we get these doctrines of God? Where does God tell us, for instance, that he's holy, or that he's eternal, or that he exists in three persons? Well, so he created a workbook that he could just hand to a new convert and say, go get your Bible and open it and see what God says about himself. See who this God is. So that was released for free. I think there's still PDF copies mm-hmm. of it out there floating around. But it was something that he wrote on the mission field 20 plus years ago. He wanted to revise and expand that book and continue doing other subjects with the same method. And so he, just out of kindness to Media Gratier, has allowed us to publish those when we became an independent in 2015. And so he gave us this book, Knowing the Living God, which is the expanded and revised version of the One True God. It's now a hefty 279 pages of workbook for small groups and yeah. Sunday school and discipleship and that sort of thing. And there are other books in the series. Three of them are released.
Okay.
Two are forthcoming. So there's Knowing the Living God that deals with the subject of God. There's one called Discerning the Plight of Man that just shows where do we get the doctrine of man from the Scriptures, total depravity, you know, our condition okay. apart from God. Where do we get that? Then Discovering the Glorious Gospel. Where do we get our doctrine of the gospel? Why do we believe that the Son was a scapegoat, propitiation, etc.? There are two other ones that were going to be out this year, but we let Paul have a little time off because he died and came back to life, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It was very nice of you
yeah.
to give him that time off.
Well, not, you know, it's almost up. So
okay.
we have deadlines, Paul, if you're listening. So understanding the discipline of fasting and studying the Holy Scriptures are ones that we'll be releasing this year. But yeah, Paul's actually doing great after having a yeah. massive heart attack, flatlining, I think, three times before
three
they could
times.
Get him down. Yeah. You know, he lives where you might think Paul Washer would live, like up in a cabin on the edge of, you know, a mountain with
right.
bears everywhere.
Right. Like, just, like is it Grizzly Adams or is it Bjorn from Lord of the Rings there?
It's a little of both.
A little
yeah.
both.
Yeah,
okay.
with some Elisha mixed in, you know.
Okay. Nice. That's very good.
Yeah. So after dying and coming back, he's doing great. And
is that
been
your next
writing.
Book? Is it his experience dying and come back?
To yeah,
him?
Yeah.
His 3 minutes in heaven?
No, I think that was one of the first tweets he put out is, I didn't go to heaven, and I'm not planning on writing a book about it, you know.
That's good.
Yeah. So those will be out this year. Then there is a follow-up study to the Behold Your God, Rethinking God Biblically study that we released in 2013. We've just put it out. It's called Behold Your God, The Weight of Majesty. And again, it's a 12-week multimedia study.
These are DVDs that are showing the speaker. You have different speakers, and they're going over their subject.
Yeah, that's right. So it's there are 12 DVDs. Well, actually 13 DVDs, but 12 weeks.
Okay.
And the first 10 minutes or so is Dr. Snyder on location in somewhere related to someone from church history. So in this one, we do John Knox, we do John Bunyan. So for the first 10 minutes, we're in places connected to men and women from church history. And we're introducing the subject by looking at their lives for a little while, introducing people to their lives. Then there's about a half hour sermon. And then there's a 5 to 10 minute collection of interview comments at the end. Mm-hmm. And so on the new study, our friends Sinclair Ferguson, Joel Beakey, Steve Lawson, Conrad Mbewe, Ian Hamilton, Jeff Thomas, and then a lot of the men who were in it the first time in Rethinking God Biblically, Anthony okay. Mathenia, Andrew Davis, Jordan Thomas, and others are contributors. So those DVDs, you would get together with a small group and watch, or you can stream those to mm-hmm. beholdyourgod.org. And then each individual person who goes through the study will have a copy of a daily devotional workbook where they're actually in the scriptures 5 days a week on their own. And they're working through, and there's an order to it. We see, what does God say in his word about whatever subject we're studying during the week? Then we get together and we see this witness from church history mm-hmm. in the historical introduction. We hear the sermon from Dr. Snyder. And then we hear comments from men who minister in different contexts from all around the world. You have these men from the UK, you have Conrad from Zambia, you have rural pastors, urban pastors in the US, who are saying, look, these things are eternal truths. They don't change because of temporal or geographical context. Mm-hmm. We don't have to adjust God to fit where we are. This is an eternal being that we adjust to fit to who he is.
It's good. So what are there any major projects that you guys are working on that you haven't mentioned?
Yeah, right now. So we're working with Dr. Joel Beakey and the guys at Reformation Heritage Books and Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. We're working with them on a film on the Puritans. It's called Puritan, All of Life to the Glory of God. So it'll be a big documentary package. So there'll be a feature film, just a feature length, hour and a half film that you can put into anyone's hands. So why do you read the Puritans all the time? What's the deal? Puritans, isn't that Thanksgiving? You know, what's that all about? You can say, well, look, watch this film. Here's an hour and a half introduction to why we feel like who are these men, and why do we feel like these men are so helpful? Why are we reading them? And there'll be some additional study material that churches can use for Sunday schools and small groups on Puritan bios and Puritan themes. So the Puritans on marriage, the Puritans on worship, etc. Sure. So it's going to be a big, like I said, a big Lord of the Rings extended edition nice. Kind of package.
Wait, and this is the bobblehead of Joel Beakey.
On it.
Okay, thank you.
I'll talk with him about that soon. So we're actually, we started production on that already. We were in pre-production, and we were reaching out to the men that we wanted to contribute to it, and we kind of shot one out to Dr. Jim Packer in Vancouver.
Okay, yeah.
Love to have him contribute. And there was a link in the email that you could click, and you could pick a time between now and September that you'd like for us to come. Well, Dr. Packer has macular degeneration.
Right.
He's basically blind. He couldn't read the email, but he called and said that he would be interested. Yes, I believe this is a very good project, and I would like to contribute to it. So we were blown away.
Well, that's great.
Dr. Packer, thank you so much. When would you like us to come? You know, thinking between now and September. He says, well, I'm thinking Thursday. So this was, you know, Friday of the previous
week.
We scrambled to get up to Vancouver, and suddenly we're in production. So we started shooting. We'll be Stephen McCaskill, who directed the Luther documentary, is directing this.
Okay.
I'm the creative director. And David Woolen, who is the sales manager for Reformation Heritage Books, is going to be traveling with us. We're going to be in the UK and the Netherlands for 3 weeks in April doing the bulk of the production. And then we'll be back in we'll be traveling around to meet with different men in the US who will be contributors. Dever and Lawson and MacArthur and Piper and, you know, a lot of those men who are going to say their piece about the Puritans. And then in September, we'll be filming all of the teaching sessions in Grand Rapids, just one after the next. So we're looking at releasing it maybe at the Ligonier Conference in 2019, okay. Maybe about a year from today, maybe.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you very much for sitting with us and talking about these great projects.
Well, I appreciate it so much. I'm not really good at self-promotion, so it's helpful when guys are like, hey, what is all this Media Grantier stuff?
Yeah, we just want to know everything.
Yeah, well, you know, we're like Kanye. We're too busy making movies to watch movies.
There you go. Right, yes. That's what I thought of, that we're just like Kanye. Yeah. I thought that often.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again.
Thanks, Rob. Yes,
good to be with you. Look forward to that new project.
Thanks.